Bye. God's house. I trust that you've had a good week in the Lord. It's good to see visitors here with us this morning. Trust you'll have a good time here worshiping with us. We are thrilled to be here in the house of God today. Men went down to Tampa to the men's advance down there. We had 2 days of good preaching and fellowship together. I wonder if one of the men or two of them might want to have a word of testimony this morning about what maybe God did in your heart while he was there. Yes, sir, Brother Hector. Jimmy?
One thing that's different is that we got to take into the youth group. That was pretty awesome. I think we got a chance to do that last year. Like I was saying, the show me that I have a few issues to deal with as far as stepping out of that book. It's pretty scary. The preview was awesome. It just made me realize what I can do a little more to change this year.
Anybody else? One of you young men that went with us. Maybe y'all want to say something. Yes, sir. Ben? Amen. Anybody else? One thing that impressed me when we was there was the dialing in a portion of the message where Peter did step out of the boat. And he did walk on water, but he began to sink. That's the words the Bible says. He began to sink, and as he began to sink, he called out for help. And the Lord helped him. And that's usually where we stop. But you know that Peter had to walk back to the boat? It's there. It says when they had come into the boat. We missed that point. We missed the point that as he began to sink. And I like how the preacher illustrated that. He's tried to, step off the diving board, maybe, and you don't just begin to sink, you just sink. As Peter began to sink, he recognized, and that was even in his falter and failure of sinking, God was helping him up, holding him in his faults and his failures before he could ever drown. Well, I'm glad that God don't just let me drown. I do appreciate things in our country, but God's never tried to waterboard me to get me to do right. He's just always been good to me. So if you miss because you had things that you must do or had to do, That's understandable, but if you did not go just simply because you did not want to go or had no desire for it, I encourage you next year to please get involved. It's good. You know, sometimes you can't make everything. That's understandable. But if you can, well, I tell you, it's been a help to me as a pastor. Let's go to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. Well, we had good services last week, Easter Sunday. We had over 100 at our sunrise service in the morning, and then almost 200 in the morning worship service. So God really blessed as we worshiped Him on such a great day in the Lord. Now, we understand that we worship God every Sunday in recognizing resurrection. We are biblical thinkers here. But we do have to understand that there is a holiday that the world has set apart to recognize Jesus. And boy, when the world recognizes it, we need to take advantage of those days. And don't get mad at folks that only come on Christmas and Easter. You ain't did them no good when you say, well, I guess we'll see you Christmas. Be glad they're here. Because they could have went fishing. They could have went to the beach. They could have went to the Florida Mall and hunted eggs. But they came to hear the preaching of the Word of God. So don't get all distraught. Oh, here they come Easter time again. Be thankful. Be thankful because, you know, we're to plant and we're to water. And who knows, this might be the year that the seed was watered that had been planted years and years ago, and then they just say, you know, there's more to this thing about Jesus than Easter and Christmas, so I think I might try it this week. But if we had the attitude, well, I'll see you next Christmas, you know, well, that ain't going to help them get back. It's not. Not at all. So as I thought about that, you know, last week we looked at the tears on Easter Sunday. And I was about done with it, but as I was reading through, I noticed after Easter in the Word of God, after resurrection time in the Word of God, I noticed there were some folks still sad. But we're going to look at that today and see what the Lord did about it. Because I'm going to be honest with you, there's many in this world that are just sad. I mean that in a way that's brokenhearted. You know, we use that word sad in two different ways. You know, like, well, you're in a sad state of the fix right there. You know, you're sorry. Then there's sad where you're broken. And there's a lot of folks broken. A lot of folks just sad. I mean, there's no joy. It spills over in the house of God, too. I mean, people come here hurt, broke, and just brokenhearted and not heeding the scriptures and precepts about casting your care. God knows you're going to be sad. But he says, cast that on me. Let me take care of that. And you go get refreshed, and you go get strengthened. And so today, we're going to look in Luke 24. We're going to read 13 down to 34. Then we're going to spend a little bit of time looking at some sad folks after Easter. Luke 24, verse 13, we're going to read down to verse 34. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which is from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. Now that's about 7 to 8 miles. And if you walked at a normal pace, walk 7 to 8 miles would take you 2 to 3 hours of walking. So that kind of helps you there. So which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes was holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad. And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and to have crucified him. Verse 21. But we trusted it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it, even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. Verse 29. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, blessed it, and brake, and gave them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. Sad folks, after the resurrection, it was early in the first day of the week. It says there in verse 1, chapter 24, Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came, the seven being spices, and they prepared, and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And that's where we left off last week, and we was looking at that, and celebrated a great day in the Lord and the victory of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the evidence and confidence that we have in our salvation, that by the power of God he was raised up from the dead. And as 3 days now have passed, they're walking down the road, and they're thinking, they're talking, and they're spending time together as they travel in their discouragement. And then all of a sudden, here comes Jesus joining himself to them. And we're going to see how Jesus mends broken hearts. Now, as he journeyed to Emmaus, they talked very sadly of the events. It's kind of like, some of you did last year, some of you Yankee fans that we have, whenever Game 7 happened. And the Astros, bang, and won that thing out of there and became the world champions. Of baseball, y'all still walking sadly, talking. We almost beat the Astros. We're the best team, the best franchise in all. Walking sadly, talking, remembering how you almost did it. You got this year, we'll see. And that's how these folks were. Walking. Talking, remembering, and looking around, and their hearts was broken, their hearts was sad. And the sadness, if you notice there in verse 15, notice something there real quick like. It says in verse 15, it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, listen what happened. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Well, as they came along their path, as they got to where they were going, they were talking, they were sad, they were brokenhearted, and then all of a sudden, Jesus drew near. You know, the Bible says that if any man draws nigh to God, God will draw nigh to him. But right here, we find Jesus in the brokenness and the heartache and the pain. Jesus coming along up beside them. He drew near to them. And their conversation, as you listen to it, you talk about it, it reveals their broken heart. And I'm telling you, different, we've got to get to the point where we listen to what people are saying. What people are saying says a whole lot. Really, it does. We hear too often in a selective manner that which affects us, that which encourages us, that which brings us on further down our road, then we hear. But dear friend, we need to get to the point where we hear as God's people what others are saying. And in their conversation, what they were talking about, the problems and the heartache and the pain, and it had shown that they were very discouraged. And I'm telling you, there's some discouraged people in the work today, in the Lord's work. There's some discouraged people. I'm telling you, there's some discouraged pastors right now. I've got several that I pray for constantly because I've been around them and I know them, and there's some discouragement that's riding on their back. And I'm going to tell you, if you ever get discouraged in the work of the Lord, dear friend, you've got one knee on the ground. You've got one hand on the tie. You're about ready to throw in and say, hey, it's better off if I go drive a truck somewhere. It's better off if I go get me a job at a construction site than to fool around with this. And boy, they got discouraged. And I pray for them. There's one right now in my heart right now today. I pray for him constantly because the devil is wearing at him and he's discouraged. So, Pastor, how'd you know? Did he come by and he just say, hey, I'm discouraged? No, I just listened to him talk. I can hear the conversation. And as you draw nigh to people, you know, Benji talked to me last week or so about something that really rung in my heart. He said that we got to get to the point where we understand that the Christian walk is about relationships. You know why we don't hear folks in pain? We don't hear folks discouraged? It's because we don't have relationships with somebody. How many of you can name three doors down from you, what's your neighbor's third child's name? I don't even know if he got any children. You see what I'm saying? See, that's where we are in our life today. We don't know who our neighbors are. Some of us, we don't even know everybody that works the same shift. There's only five of y'all working the same shift. I'm here to get my money, get home, get off, and get gone. Boy, we're sad for that away. Because Jesus said, I come to seek and save that which is lost. Man, they were discouraged. Not only were they discouraged, their friend, after discouragement sits in, you know as well as I do, you begin to get depressed. I mean, depression just comes down upon you like, you have no energy, you don't want to do nothing, you don't want to be around folks, you don't want to, praying for this awakening thing over at Dr. Phillips, dear friend. I'm telling you, that little girl that started that thing, Brother James, if we're not careful, she'll get discouraged at carrying this burden. And then she'll look, what's the use? Then all of a sudden, depression sits in. I'm telling you, the thief cometh but to steal and to kill and destroy. Man, you see their depression here as their heart is broken. But then all of a sudden, they just resign. Their hearts. I'm just, you know, we lose battles in the mind, don't we? And some of us, we just say, well, I've fought, I've prayed, I've gone, I've done. I'm done with it. Some of you now are getting close to even stop praying for some of your loved ones. You've resigned in your heart, it ain't going to do no good. You just figured out in your mind, so I've done all that I humanly possibly can. Now, remember that verse in the Bible that he pointed out in Psalms, until we come to our wits' end? That's in there. Wits is W-I-T apostrophe S. Wits, my wits. We got to come to a point where we come to the end of ourselves and understand. But until we come to the end of ourselves and put all trust in Christ, dear friend, we're going to resign to quit. We'll be discouraged, we'll be depressed, and we'll just say, I can't go another step. I can't do it. And here's where these disciples were, these followers of Christ, the ones that had seen miracle after miracle, that had been around him as he broke bread and broke the Word of God. I mean, he has taught and he has spent time with them in Scriptures and the circumstances of life has broken them. I mean, it's gotten them down. They're discouraged. Some of you got loved ones that's sick and hurt and in pain and no certainty of tomorrow, the next week, and depression is sitting in on, discouragement is sitting in on, and you so and so much that your eyes are just like this. What it says, their eyes was holding. Their eyes was holding. They didn't even recognize the Savior. What does that mean? Their eyes had been grabbed, and their attention had been focused upon the problems of life and the heartache of life, and it wasn't that they hadn't once believed. What did it say there? Let me see the scripture if I can find it real quick. Verse 21. This one it says, but we trusted. There was a time in their life, dear friend, that they had trusted. They believed, they put faith, and boy, they were discouraged, and Jesus comes along, and so much, verse 16, they don't even recognize who he is. It says their eyes was holding that they should not know him. We get that away, dear friend. We get that away with the problems, the waves of life, and troubles and turmoils of life comes upon us. Dear friend, that we get so discouraged, depressed, and broken in our own heart that we can't even recognize the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and the one who settled us and established us and made us part of his family. They didn't even know him. They didn't even recognize him. Look at verse 17. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another? As ye walk and are sad. He asked them, what's wrong? What do we see here? We see Jesus getting involved with the lives of people. Well, how's he going to do that today? He's sitting in heaven. He's at the right-hand throne of God making intercession for you and I. How's he going to get involved with people's lives today? Unless we get involved, it ain't going to happen. As we look around and we see folks that are hurting, see folks that are in pain, see folks that are discouraged, see folks that are broken, and we come along and we get beside them. And I'm going to tell you something, dear friend, they're not going to always open up to you either. I'm telling you, I'm a very private person. When I'm hurting and when I'm discouraged, when I've got pain, dear friend, there's a lot of reasons I don't open up. One of them is that I'm just simply private. I'll just carry that pain myself and go on about my business and there. But dear friend, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus did something here. Listen, look what it says here in verse number 19. And he said unto them, what things? He began to draw it out, didn't he? You know, Brother Greg, you're not looking yourself today. Is everything okay? Well, there's things, you know, bother me. What things? He began to draw it out of them. He showed interest in their problems. You know what we do, Brother Eden? Man, I had a long day at work. I done climbed up 40 poles and drilled in the bottom of them things 6 times. I don't want to hear what's going on in Blake's life today. I ain't going to return that text. I'll text him back tomorrow. Our problems, our discouragement, our life, Jesus began to draw it out. Hey, well, what's wrong? What things? We got to get to the thing. We speak too much in general. You know, well, life is, it's on me. Life is on you? What does that mean? You ate 16,000 calories today? I mean, you know, did you break your diet? You binge on some food? I mean, you know, did your boss yell at you? Well, just life. Mom and dad was on me. You know, what things? She said, what things? He got down to what it truly was that was bothering them. You know how you're going to help folks through their brokenness, their discouragement? Dear friend, if I'm discouraged about my relationship with my wife, you talking to me about my broken down truck ain't going to help me. That doesn't fix what's going on in my life. We got to get to the things. She said, what things? What things? And he begins to draw out their hurt. Draw out and say, hey, come, what did he say? Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. Come. We've got to draw it out. Do you understand? I'm going to tell you this, dear friend. I'm going to be honest with you. I believe this with all my heart, 100% of my heart, Brother Bill, is that the busyness of life is a weapon of the devil. God never meant for us to be this here distorted in our thinking. God meant for Him to be on the throne of our life, the throne of our heart, and everything around us fits in around God, or it don't fit. You know what we do? We put everything we got in the jar, and God, if you can get in there, good for you. Hey, you're omnipotent. I mean, after all, the Holy Spirit of God lives inside this body, and there's big bodies, little bodies, skinny bodies, tall bodies, short bodies, and you know, if He can get Himself down into them bodies, surely He can get down into my things. That's not how God meant it. God meant to be first. He said in the commandments, I am a jealous God. You should have no other God before me. That's what He says. Well, preacher, I ain't got no totem poles in my house. Praise God, I don't have no statues in my house. See, that's what we did. We get locked in on some kind of craziness. We have all those things in front of God. All of them. Relationships, careers, houses, and cars, and hobbies, pets, football teams, baseball teams, we put all these things to God. But, well, get on the caboose, God. I think you can. Little bitty God, I think you can. And we make God a little red caboose. And we wonder why we get broken, discouraged, and trying to climb up the hills of life. I'm telling you, life is hard. It is difficult. And He draws it out. And He pulled it out. He said, listen, what things? Jesus, the great physician. Our example on how to deal with folks that are sad. How many of you could say it with me this morning? You don't have to tell me. Don't call out the name. Don't even have to raise your hand. You know some folks that are broken, discouraged, depressed, resigned to quit, not going on another step. Just sad. They're hurting. Here's our example. What we're going to do with it. See, it's what we're going to do with Jesus. It's about our relationship with Jesus. Why do you think Jesus did all this here? I mean, He's walking now 7 to 8 miles with these people. And I wondered, since why do you have to tell us, Brother Jim, there's 70 furlongs down the road? I think He wanted us to know. Sometimes it's going to take you a little while to get into their life. You didn't get in straight away. It took a while. You had to walk along with them. Had to hear them. Had to listen. had to spend time with them. As he went down the road, he spent time with them. And then he drew it out of them, what things, and he began to, you know, the problem, dear friend, you can't ever fix it. You can't even begin to try to give Scripture to solve it. What do? We slap a Band-Aid on it and go on about our life. You know that commercial, Band-Aid, stick on anything? That ain't true, dear friend. Band-Aids don't cure broken hearts. The only one that can is Jesus. The only one. Now, what happened? Verses 22 and 27, here's the answer. Here's how he restored their, listen to this, their backslidden heart. A broken heart will always come from a backslidden heart. See, if we stay right with Jesus, right with God, He will calm us or calm the storm. And life will not have its great effect upon us. But if we turn our eyes from Jesus to the problem, we are therefore turning away from the power of God to our own strength and our own might. Therefore, we are become backslidden. When you say, well, I'm not backslidden. I'm not fooling around with no sins. When we turn away from God, dear friend, we have fallen back. I always ask myself this. Every time self, I say self. You couldn't fix yourself before Jesus. Self, what are you going to do now that He lives in you and He wants the preeminence of your life? You know what self always does? Shuts up, falls in line, because we have to remind ourselves sometimes, He's still God. He is still God. They believed in Him. Says there in verse 21, they trusted, but guess what happened? They just started saying nice things. Look at verse 19, verse 21, but we trusted. So we know they had some kind of trust, but listen to what they were saying. Verse 19, and He said unto them, what things? And they said unto Him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth. Listen to the nice things they began to say. Which was a prophet, mighty indeed, word before God and all the people, and how the... And they begin to say nice things about Jesus. It's not personal anymore. He's just not. They trusted that He would be the one that should have redeemed Israel. It's just not, you know. Oh, it's okay. You know, Jesus is, he's a good friend. A good friend to who? Whereas before you say, Jesus is my friend. Jesus walks with me and He talks with me and we spend time together. Jesus is the lover of my soul, the rose of Sharon. Jesus is the one who saved me and set my life on a solid rock. Boy, we were there. We were trusting and we were believing. Then the cares of this world overwhelmed us. And then, it's good to go to church every now and then. It's good to read. It's good to spend time with Jesus. You know, He's a good person. And boy, we begin to say nice things. Be very careful, dear friend, with your life and the words of your mouth, because out of the heart comes these things. The Bible says that they, with their mouth, they speak of God and serving God and spending time with God, but their heart is far from Him. Be very careful. They trusted. He was a prophet. He was good. He was deep. They began to speak these nice things. They even started to the point, dear friend, they got to the point where they even doubted the resurrection. Had He not told them? Son of Man must be taken, must be beaten, scourged, and crucified, but on the third day I'm going to rise again. What did they say? That's the third day. Verse 21. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things. What do you think they were referencing there? The fact that He had said. Wait a minute, they had already been astonished. Verse 22. By some of the ladies who had went to the tomb, they had been astonished by them, which were at the sepulcher early, in verse 23, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even as so the women had said. Listen to what it says. But him they saw not. Jesus never once told them in the prophecy of the crucifixion. He never said that you would see me again. He said, I'd rise again. We do know that he showed himself to them and plus 500 witnesses before. And then when he's ascended up, there they are witnessing that. But they begin to doubt the very resurrection. You been there? God, do you even love me? God, I'm hurting. God, this relationship ain't working. I know you said you'd never leave me or forsake me. God, I know that you said you'd be with me. And you say you'd line up, but God, do you love me? Where are you? They begin to doubt the very power of God. The resurrection. Look at verse 25. And he said to them, O fools, and slow of heart, to believe what? What's the next word? All that the prophets have spoken. Once in their life they dared. Do you remember wherever he sent out two by two? Cast out demons, save, heal, preach Jesus, come back and gave a great report about it. Jesus said, Don't be worried about all that. Be thankful your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Be thankful that you're saved. They dared and they went out and they did great things in the name of Jesus. Now all of a sudden they're doubting. Wow, we don't even know. We didn't even see him. Once they expected the redemption of all of Israel, now they're running in retreat. Where's all these disciples at this point? They were hiding, wasn't they? They were hiding. These here were headed back home. They said, hey, forget this, I'm going. Next week, guess what they're going to be doing? Going fishing. They were ready for redemption. They believed that he was. What did Jesus, what did Peter say? Thou art the Christ. So I'm going fishing. Once they were excited about the things of God. You remember that when you got saved, you was born again, the very first weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, month, year. You were excited. You was on fire for God. You was enjoying the things of God. And then you so kind of just chilled out. And just, okay. It means your heart's backslidden, dear friend. You've forsaken your first love. You've forsaken the first love. Well, what's the answer? What did Jesus do? Verse 27. A broken heart is a result of a backslidden heart. And Jesus is here to draw us back into the fold. How does he do it? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Oh, Lord, he's preaching again. My soul. Can we get a preacher around here that don't expound and talk about topics in the Bible and, you know, brings in singing groups and puts the choir on display and we sing 16 songs in the choir? Wasn't Jesus' answer? I think I'll follow Jesus. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scripture the things concerning himself. What's the answer? Tell that Bible. You know why they don't want to get it out of them schools? You know why they don't want it in Congress? You know why they don't want it being brought around in public places? They don't want it having Bible studies at these schools in their own private time? That's the answer. That is the answer. Right there. He began in the Scriptures. What's the Bible say in Romans chapter 10, verse number 17? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, child of God, if you get more excited about going to some concert than going to a preacher revival, you got a backslidden heart. You get more excited, you're in tune when the choir sings or when the quartet sings or when the special song, and you're more in tune than that. You tune out God whenever it's Bible time. So, preacher, you want it all to be about you? No, you can come up here and read if you want. I want Jesus glorified. If you leave here and remember me at all, dear friend, I have failed miserably at what I'm trying to do. We need to leave here knowing that the Bible is true and absolute, that God loves us, that Jesus Christ died for us. And if we don't know Jesus, our personal Lord and Savior, we'll spend eternity in a devil's hell. If you think you're coming here and you feel like when you leave here that you've been at a club, dear friend, we have missed it. This is God's house. A place of refreshment, a place of a separation from this world, that we may renew our strength and rest upon Him and gain knowledge and understanding, that we may go out of this world and be a lighthouse and the salt of the world for Christ. How did He restore a broken heart, backslidden heart? With the Scriptures. Can you imagine me for a moment there, Sister Debbie, what a Bible study that must have been? From Moses to the prophets. Some of you are thinking right now, preacher, it's 9 after. We got to go. There are some pastors that pastor in this world, dear friend, that they are told by the committees that you better not go past 12. You've got 32 minutes, you better stop. Can you imagine that? 7 to 8 miles. What if I told y'all to bring your hiking boots next week, Brother Hector? We're going to walk out to Moss Park and back, and the whole time I'm going to preach. So the whole time, just walk beside y'all, put y'all in a platoon, four across the front, line y'all up, and I'm going to sing cadence about Bible all the way there and back. Preacher, you crazy. Can you imagine a Bible study right there? We get bothered if we have to spend a little bit of time in God's Word. We need to be careful. They saw how the Scriptures spoke of who? Of Jesus. What did it say? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. I'm amazed at the folks that can get into the Bible and begin to study it. And as they get to the Bible, they're so interested in the archaeological finds. What this name might mean and where that is. It's all important. I'll tell you what's the most important. In the volume of the book, it's written of Him. In every page, in every chapter, in every verse, we need to be looking for Jesus. Because He is the answer. Faith, dear friend, as Jesus began to teach them and preach to them and began to show them things from the Scripture concerning Himself, their faith is restored by talking and applying the Bible that Jesus is the Christ. We need to be careful about the amount of Bible we know and make sure it's equal to the amount of Bible we're living. I'm just being honest with you, as your pastor, as the head of my home, my family, if my children could quote the whole Pentateuch and never lived the Bible, it does them no good. Our deacons, if they quoted everything from Matthew all the way to Revelations and they choose not to live the Bible, it does them absolutely no good. Our choir gets up here and they can sing every song, and as they're singing, they begin to sing the whole book of Psalms. From chapter 1 all the way to chapter 150. And they don't live it. It does them absolutely no good at all. It's not, we've got to take the Bible and we've got to apply it to our lives and begin to live through it and allow it to get into our hearts. And when it gets into our heart, guess what it does? It begins to move a fire within us. It begins to move a fire. And it says there in verse 32, "And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" Whew, boy, they sung a good song. Man, can you hear that singing? Boy, that song touched me. When's the last time scripture touched you? When's the last time the Word of God burned inside you? The Bible says in the Beatitudes, we got to hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know what it says? They shall be filled. Jesus set their hearts on fire. How did he do that? With the Word of God. With the Bible. We need a burning heart. I'm going to tell you this, dear friend. If you get the Bible in your life and you get the Bible and you hide it in your heart and you begin to live it, it will change your direction. What do you mean, preacher? They were headed to where? Where'd they end up? It wasn't because they decided to walk another 8 miles. It's because the Word of God got in their life. Now, I'm going to tell you something else what happened in your life. If you get the Bible, you start living it, you start hiding it in your heart, you get it in there. Not only will it change your direction, dear friend, it will make you seek out other Christians that you might meet with and spend time with. Where did they go? It says right there. Let's read again, verse number 33. "And they arose up the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered." It'll make you want to be around God's people. It'll make you want to spend time in the house of God. It'll make you want to have fellowship with those that are no Christ, their personal Lord and Savior. Why is that, preacher? Because we know that we pass from death unto life when we love the brother. Not only that, dear friend, it made them blessings to others. Look at verse number 34 and 35. "Say, the Lord is risen indeed." They encouraged them. Hey, he's risen. "And have appeared unto Simon," not unto us, unto Simon. Listen to what it says, verse 35. "And they told them what things were done in the way and how he was known by them in" what? "Breaking of the bread." I begin to wonder about that, Brother Jimmy. I wonder what happened. Could it be in Brother James when he broke that bread, began to pass it out, and they took it from his hands, they began to see what? The nail cross. The one who gave it all for them. Could it be that when he broke that bread, those are the hands that broke it for the 5,000 plus women and children? Could it be? And it just made them. Look at verse 35. Let's read it again. And when they told what things were done in the way, how he was known unto them in breaking of begin to tell others about how Jesus had blessed them. When's the last time you counted your blessings and you told somebody else about it? This is an example. I mean, it's there. They were sad. If you're sad today, here's the answer. Jesus loves you. He'll draw nigh to you. He'll lift you up. He'll encourage you. How's he going to do that, preacher? You've got to get in that book. And when you get in the book, what proves that the book is making a difference in our lives, we begin to live out the book. What did the Bible say? "Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel." What did they do? They headed straight back. What happened after the day of Pentecost? Thousands were saved. Thousands. Let us ask God, dear friend, to set our hearts afire that we might know that in our discourage and despair, he will encourage us. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. And it's on its way, on our way. We're going to sing. Sing a song of invitation. Perhaps you're broken this morning. Jesus loves you. He wants to help you. Maybe you're sitting here in our church this morning, you're lost. You've never heard that Jesus Christ is the only way. That's what the Bible teaches. That's not our church saying that. The Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Perhaps you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior. This morning we'd like to take the Bible and show you how you know you can have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The altars will be open. Take a moment, use it.